Hey, just because everybody gets a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing doesn't mean you have to go through life with a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing. Old Spice has a new Below Deck powder spray to help you feel drier and cleaner down below. A new Below Deck anti-chafe stick to help prevent inner thigh chafing. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck.
Hi, I'm Mike Morheim from
Dreamhaven.
And you're listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 620. You don't blaze up at 620. What do you do at 620?
Well, it's the day before Halloween, so you go out and egg your neighbor's house.
Oh, all right. Go egg your neighbor's house. Don't tell them we said it. Toothpaste on the windows, yeah. That's a rough one. It's really the eggs that are the problem, though. Don't egg their car.
You can tell them we said it. They don't know where we live.
Yeah,
screw
they don't
them.
Know anything about us. But don't egg their car. That literally, you're a car guy. You know what an egg sat too long on a car will do to a finish of a car? It's pretty bad.
Actually, I have no idea, but I can't imagine it's good.
It's bad. It's real bad. I've seen, like, the best paint jobs you could ever imagine. They get an egg on there, even in a cool month where it's just sunny out. 2 hours later, you now have a permanent spot unless you go redo your whole car. So don't egg people's cars. All right?
That's no good.
No, it's no good at all. Don't do that.
And if you do, keep it on a single panel so I can go to the junkyard and get just that panel and not have to repaint the whole car, please. And thank you. Thanks.
Damn straight. What you say is true. This has been a really educational moment for both of us. And we're glad you're all here with us to talk about World of Warcraft. Because that's what we're talking about today. So sit tight. Here it comes. All right, we're going to talk about, of course, WoW. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we'll get to all of it, including the release date that we got yesterday and a few other things. But we're going to start with these side quests. We had a pre-patch for a while. Been a couple of weeks now. And I know a lot of you are playing alts, testing your new abilities, testing the changes that have come to your class. Your beloved classes you had hoped would never change, I guess, some of you. New builds and whatnot. Thought this might be a good time for Garrett and I to talk about our time in the pre-patch so far, since we didn't have a show last Friday. But we did have that Metzen thing on Tuesday. We'll talk about that a little later as well. Anyway, maybe we can talk about what we think what we've seen so far may or may not have anything to do with the Shadowlands experience, or if this pre-patch is mostly just about new player onboarding and alt leveling, which it kind of is. I'll start by just saying a couple of things that I noticed. This is a me thing, but I can't stop taking my tunes. Even if I go start them somewhere else, I can't seem to stop taking them to Pandaria. And I don't know what that's about, except I really like that stuff. And I think the leveling there is really fun and the story is great. And I love the setting and the place and the look and the feel. It's to this point, Garrett, I'm going to say a very controversial thing here. I think it might be my favorite expansion that the game ever had. In retrospect, maybe not at the time or while it was happening or any of that, because, you know, everybody always feels like they have to say freaking Wrath of the Lich King, which you're probably going to say, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally cool with it. Everyone's up to their individual thing here. But for me, this tendency with 5 alts now got to 50 in the last 2 weeks. And mind you, some of them were 45, so they were very fast. It's no big deal. But I keep going, all right, well, I'm going to take him over to Wrath, and I'm going to do that guy over there. Oh, this doesn't look as good as it used to. Or Borean Tundra takes forever. I should have started. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I just kind of go, you know what? Let's just hop back over, and I go back to Pandaria. And I've done that 3 of those 5 times. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 4 of those 5 times, because the Pally I'm currently leveling, which is getting there. He's almost 40. And I started him from 0. He spent most of his first 20 levels in Wrath, and I moved him to Pandaria after that. So I don't know what that says. I don't know what it means. For whatever reason, Pandaria for me is a watershed moment for the game. It's when transmog items still look cool that you can wear today. It was like from that point on, it's where we all got that mount.
That's just straight up wrong. Wrath is actually when things started looking cool enough to continue wearing them.
I don't know, dude. I've seen some blurry ass looking stuff.
I'm happy to have a subjective conversation with you about Pandaria. I really like it. I think it's a perfectly acceptable expansion to be your favorite expansion and all that. But don't you dare besmirch Wrath of the Lich King, which had some of the best tier sets in the history of World of Warcraft.
All right, I'll give you that. The tier stuff, end game, all that.
Everything out of Ulduar still holds up. Like everything. The swords, like I've got a pole arm out of there I still use on my rep pally. I love it.
Now, it's great. That's funny you bring that up because I went to Ulduar just for shits and giggles with my druid, recently level capped druid.
Because you want to put some neons on your druid.
I just want some stuff. It. Exactly. I just want to go get some of that stuff. There's also some pretty cool drops like Hodir drops that I like for the druid and stuff. So I just thought, yeah, let's get in there and let me just rip through that. I'll solo this thing. And I forgot. I don't have the kind that, let me put it this way. Druid, not the class you can solo Ulduar very well with. It's not that anything lives very long. You're killing everything with one hit. It's no big deal because I think everything's like level 20 in there as the scale goes. So you're just wiping, you know, you're wiping everybody out. So the first bit, getting to the Leviathan boss dude. What was his name? What's the car or the tank? The first thing you Isn't fight.
Literally called Leviathan.
Is it just Leviathan? Is that it?
Flame Leviathan, I think.
Flame Leviathan. That's it. I knew it had two names. Before you
we always just refer to it as Leviathan.
There you go. Before you get to that dude, you got to lay waste to a whole bunch of other dudes, and doing that process is fine, except it's really tedious because there's just tons of it. You're trying to take down sub bosses so that Flame Leviathan is easier. So I went in there and went, well, what if I just go straight there and just kill stuff on my way, but I don't worry about the towers. I don't worry about the other objectives to make him simpler and easier, because that was basically hard mode if you left that stuff up. I figure I'm that far enough ahead. I'll just go straight to him because I'm on a transmog hunt. This is just part of how I spent the last couple of weeks. So I get to him, did that fight a billion times back in the day when it was all new content with a 10-man group, and fought that thing, got him to a phase or a stage where he freezes you. And I went, oh, right. Either I need to have someone else here with me, because that freeze thing, you can't do anything about it once you're frozen. It's some other part of the team has to do it. And I don't remember what the mechanic is. They have to do something to get you unfrozen. Or I have to go wipe out every single ad that's out in the tank area and make waste of all of that stuff so that those added difficulties aren't there. And I think that freeze thing goes away. But I'm probably not going to find out, because that was enough for me. I got frozen and then they hacked me to death, and it was a death of a thousand cuts. It took forever of me just in my frozen ice hole and them going shing, 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 shing. And then I finally died. But I do have to say, going in there felt good. It's good to see that place again. All these old zones I'm enjoying all of it. But I just wanted to put it out there that as a return to place to go to take a new character from 10 to 50, and I tried Outland. I tried all the stuff they've got associated with the Dragon expansion. What's wrong with my brain? With Cataclysm and Legion, all of it. I like that leveling experience the most. And I think it's because it's all focused on these new beings that have been there, shrouded in mist and mystery all this time. And so every quest is like, oh, slow down. We need to go pick the corn and give it to the thing. And then you got to fight some Shah you didn't know was out there. And just new stuff. It feels new and different and really crafted and artistically just nails it. So I guess my bottom line is, I'm not saying Wrath is bad. I'm saying it's a little long in the tooth visually. Okay, a little bit. And it's a fine time. It's a fine time. But there are also lots of go get me 20 of these still. Go get me 30 of these. Go get me 50 more of these. Bring them back.
You know, at least whatever it is you're killing has some of those. Okay? Like, you know, you could go back to BC and you would notice very quickly that about 1 in 23 has one of the 15 items you're trying to collect.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't there very long with one of the characters. Actually, I dinged the last part of an alt who was already 45. Well, the druid, but I did that in Outland, and you're right. Like whatever those quests were I was doing, I wasn't even sure I was in the right place because I'm like, I've killed 15 of you. One of you is going to drop this, right? And then I'd look it up, make sure I'm Wowhead, I'm running the right thing. It's like, yeah, it says they'll drop. Eventually one drops. It's like, oh, right. This expansion was all about limited random RNG dropping.
Well, and it's real uneven too, because there's a lot of quests that are perfectly fine. I kind of feel like it's the same drop rate as modern quests, but it feels like about every 7 quests per zone, it's just like, oh, hey, something is at the coming at you at the speed of vanilla.
Yeah, and the other thing that I noticed about Pandaria that I really enjoyed was I like the Hosen. I know they annoy people, not me. I find them to be hilarious.
Absolutely my least favorite like race addition to World of Warcraft ever.
I love listening to Rico complain and make up stories. In fact, here, I'm just going to share. I'm going to share a little file here, just a little brief audio capture of me running Rico's quest the other day. Just hear this out. Here you go.
Right. What the ook is wrong with your face? You chicken dead?
Come on, dude. How do you not love Rico, the freaking Hosen?
They're disgusting. They're just a bunch of poo flingers. I have this in real life. Like, I go to the zoo. I don't like monkeys, man. They creep me out. I think they're gross. They look like hairy people that like playing with poo. They're just, there's nothing about them I'm into.
I didn't know this. I had no idea you had a thing with monkeys.
Yeah, that's great. Like monkeys, man. They're creepy. Unless, like, they're little tiny spider, like, cute spider monkeys or lemurs. Totally into those.
Okay, but,
like,
what about the Indiana Jones one that ate the date and died? What about that little guy?
That's as big as the monkey can get.
Okay.
Before... like, I'm no longer interested or think it's cute. I forget what type of monkey that is. But yeah, because it's the same one that's in Ace Ventura. And that is it. That is my size limit for a monkey to still be something I want to, like, go, oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's so funny. What it's, look at it. Look at him. Look at his little personality. Yeah. You get bigger than that, you start getting into, like, ape range and stuff like that. I'm
ape
out.
Ape range. Garrett can't do the ape range.
Yeah, chimps, man. Chimps. Creep me out.
Yeah, plus they can pick you up and huck you if they wanted to. They're strong.
Gorillas are kind of cool. They're like just so jacked. They're basically like a wow monster.
Yeah, I think you shave those guys down too, and you're just like, what muscle is this under here? This is crazy. Not that I ever shaved one down, but I've seen one. Anyway, the point is, I like the Hosen. Good thing the Alliance doesn't have to deal with them much, so good on them, I guess. But as a Horde player, lots of Hosen. I had a lot of fun with that. And I have, in the last 2 weeks, like I said before, Pandaria aside, leveled 5 new alts, a 6th on its way. And that says something. That says, A, I've been super engaged, but B, it's very fast. It's not we're talking about 2 weeks of time. Now, I didn't start everyone at zero, mind you. I've done that once to full, and then the rest were either partials or I'm still working on another one from zero to 50. But all of these guys that have been sitting in my alt list forever, just sitting there languishing at level whatever they used to be, now are like average 40, 45, some cases 35. That's fast. That's a very fast process. And I think that's on purpose. And it actually feels great. Like, I feel great about taking these guys and getting them current. It feels like an alt-friendly thing to do, whereas something like, I was talking to somebody yesterday, Legion is viewed by a lot of alt-holics as a terrible expansion. Because that game was not alt-friendly, like, at all. And so...
yeah, and it carried into BFA as well. BFA is really not particularly alt-friendly either.
No, even though I would level dudes up in that expansion, I would park them and then not do anything with them. Because that just
part of it is you're enjoying the new experience. Like, if you're actually trying to get geared up in BFA, you run into the issues of BFA immediately.
Right.
And we might... to me, it looks like we might have the same issue in Shadowlands because of just how the Covenant system works.
Right. And that's just WoW, and that's how it is. It's never maybe been truly alt friendly. Like,
I really disagree with that. I think
in what way? How would you describe it? Tell me when it was the most alt friendly in your mind.
Basically, actually, no, it was probably before WoW, because the Garrison, you had to do quite a bit of catching up as well. But like Wrath, I always go back to Wrath because I like just gearing through badges. And you can get badges from all sorts of different, like, you just run dungeons and catch up on gear and whatnot.
Right.
That, of course, I'm more, I think, for a lot of people, it probably legitimately, Scott, comes down to, and this is not prolific, what you like doing. I like Wrath the most because I could catch up through dungeon runs because that's my favorite thing in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, I didn't.
I'm with you. I think that was a better time for that stuff. The problem is the more complex the systems they lay on top of this thing, the more single character specific it feels like the game gets. And if you're really playing, like if you're playing all the time and it's all you do, well, the game can be as alt-friendly as you want it to be if you have all the time in the world to dedicate to doubling up all the time. But I can't do that. Not that level, you know? So in a weird way, it feels like Blizzard gave us a gift here and said, look, what if we gave you the fastest leveling progression of all time and gave you no excuse not to get some of these languishing characters all up to snuff so that when Shadowlands launches, you personally have more choice than just, well, I guess I'm doing my hunter again, or I guess the mage is coming out or whatever. You might lean a different way because you had some, some brief recent experience in this pre-patch. And you may say, well, I feel like the druid is my main for the next expansion because I really like playing feral. I don't know why you would, because feral sucks. But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Throwing shade at the cat people. What are you doing?
I'm going to get in trouble for that. I just know it. I don't like feral. I wish I did. I just don't know what it wants to be.
Send your emails to Scott specifically.
I wish I liked it. I ended up doing balance almost the whole time because it just feral is
It's never particularly clicked with me either, but like... It's a cool fantasy. You get to turn into a cat and run real fast.
It is a cool fantasy. And I will admit, I change into cat form anytime I'm in a place where I can't mount. So it's a nice bonus of like what.
That's like the best thing ever to be doing Ulduar. Yeah. Even when you get past the damn Flame Leviathan, which by the way, Scott, just figure out which of the towers is the freeze effect. Only take that one out and then move on through Flame Leviathan.
Yeah, but it means I got to go restart it.
I'm just saying, you'll get used to it, you know, for your weekly runs, and you'll have it out.
Because I do want to get all the I have a lot of transmog from at the time I ran that naturally. So I don't know, I'm just in the mood. Transmog's so good right now. And also, I mean, the other thing I spent a lot of time doing was sitting around these barbershops just tweaking everybody out. And
I love it.
I love that stuff. Do you have a favorite? Do you have something that you did that you went, oh man, that's the barbershop to have for that guy?
It should probably not surprise you that I'm really excited about all the new haircuts.
Yeah, you're stoked.
I would imagine that wouldn't come as a surprise.
No. Let me see. Nope. I am not shocked. Turns out.
As someone who I'm kind of tooling around on the Alliance again right now, really liking all the new additions to Night Elves. I love that they can get a Teldrassil burn scar. I think that's awesome. Mm. And they added just some really good kind of. As I would imagine your hair would look if you just ran around the woods all day. They've got some really good, chunky, wispy, long hair styles that just look so much more natural than anything that's been in the game until now. So not to mention the beards on male night elves are off the freaking chain now.
Yeah.
They are just amazing.
Proper beards for the night elves finally.
Oh yeah. Good stuff.
What's funny is, so on the orc side, I know you don't like orcs, but they have this really great face paint stuff that you can contrast heavily with whatever their skin color is.
They've sold me on orcs now. I love it. They've got the straight up Uruk-hai going on.
Yeah, they're vicious. And so the first thing I did was take Gurp in there and I took one of his tusks and did the chipped tusk. So only one of his tusks is good. The other one's like broken. And then this whole side of his face got a big old scar right down his eye and down his cheek. And they let you change you can have two different eyes. So this eye is like all white, like it's been blinded. And then this eye is just green like it used to be. So now it looks like he just had the living shit kicked out of him. And I love it. Oh, my gosh, I love it. I love that stuff. That is a great thing that they've added. I'm so glad they did it. It took them way too long. And it's still not at the level of some MMOs and the lengths they go to for character customization. But I will freaking take it. I'll take it.
I mean, by WoW standards, it's a huge leap forward in customization. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. I'm sure some people do this, but I used to take my main every expansion once the barbershop became a thing, mm-hmm. and age him slightly. Make the hair slightly grayer.
Yeah.
Maybe choose a different face that has some more wrinkles or whatever. And now I've kind of got to the point where it was just complete white hair, and I was just I kind of just want turquoise hair now on my night elf. So I think I'm just gonna. He's done being old.
I get you. That's cool. No, I don't know. There's just more to it now. It used to be sort of dumb. Now it's like a meaningful addition to the game, and it goes really well with transmog people who want to do a bunch of that, which I love that too. So yeah, there's just a lot. There's a lot to like about those additions, and I kind of I can see why they felt like everything they gave us in the pre-patch was good enough to hold a lot of people over during a delay. Which again, we have news on that. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but that's one thing. Okay, here's the other thing I wanted to make sure to mention about this experience. And I don't know if I mentioned it here or a different show, but Lore Walker Cho floated around on his butt a lot. And it's a weird bug, and I don't know why.
You did mention that.
Did I?
Okay. Last time I was on the show. Well, did you do a show last week?
We didn't, but the week before that we did.
Okay.
And we talked about it some. I think it's because I went through another alt and went through the experience again, and I thought, oh, maybe it won't be bugged this time. And it was totally bugged. He's just floating on his ass everywhere. It's really weird.
Doing his best Baby Yoda impression.
Yeah, I go, come here and hear my story. I'm like, please stand up so I can talk to you like a normal person. Anyway.
Well, the real Lore Walker Cho, please stand up.
He's got some sweet. Yeah,
y'all act like you've never seen a Pandaren before.
He's dragging his weird tail around, and that's how he floats, I guess. But anyway, what I was going to say is this. We talked about it before, but I think I have a solution. I don't know why we didn't bring this up last time, but it's unceremonious when you ding 50. In this content, when you start a new character or have an old alt and you're working them through, especially an old alt because you're definitely going to end early. But even with a starting number, level 1 through Exile's Reach, level 10 through everything else, if you just stick to one expansion, you're not going to do the entire expansion. You will level 50 way before you get there. In fact, I'm not even sure my paladin's going to leave the second zone in Pandaria before he dings 50. Now, he did spend some time in Wrath, so, you know, give or take. But my point is, even if all you did was spend your time in one expansion, you will ding 50 well before you see the fruition of all of that content. And it's really unceremonious. There's a big thing on the screen with a timer with a minute, and Chromie pops in and goes, well done, hero. Freaking get your ass to Mars. And then that's it. That's your whole business.
Well, the Chromie is just Mickey.
Yeah,
it's just you.
A mouse doesn't have genitals.
There you go. That's the truth. Anyway, so that's a thing that I don't think is great. I think they could have done something there, even just a toggle that says, hey, you've leveled all the way to the maximum. Do you want to just keep going here and experience the content and have some scaled, potentially scaled gear that you would get from some quests and that sort of thing, and gold or whatever? Or do you want to go back to Orgrimmar and be done with this timeline? And that choice alone would be a huge boon to that experience, I think. Right now, here's the solution for those who haven't thought of this. Most of you have. But if you get that far, stop at about 49 and three quarters, right before you're about to ding 50. Fly to Orgrimmar or Stormwind. I don't know where each of these NPCs are yet, but they're find them on Wowhead. There's two NPCs in each major city, and they will pause your XP. I don't remember when these guys were inserted into the game. Feels like maybe Wrath or maybe it was Cataclysm. I don't remember. But they will pause your XP growth and then go back, and you can go as long as you want without any problem. And then to ding that last quarter would take nothing. You could do it anywhere. So that's a way to extend that stuff out. It's not super elegant. It's a little bit makeshifty, but it'll solve that issue if you remember to do it. Because I was going to do it with the druid, and I got all the way down there, and I was like, oh, if I turn these two in, I'm not going to ding. I'll do these two, and then I'll go back. I dinged, and then I was like, shit. And there's nothing you can do once you ding. Because when the timer runs out, you're sent back to Orgrimmar or to Stormwind, whether you like it or not. You're done.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a million better ways they could do it, but like, I get it, it'd be weird, right? Like, if you're just going forward and not progressing worth the damn, because you're not going to get gear that's worth it, and right, you're not going to get any XP. But it would be cool if they made that part of the next catch-up mechanic, you know, mm-hmm, like when they start adding catch-up gear and stuff, you know, at whatever, the 0.1 patch in Shadowlands or the 0.2 patch, they start adding catch-up. Just layer it on top of this. Like, let me just finish leveling, and any gear I get is kind of like a, I don't know, X amount of item levels below whatever the previous raid tier was.
Yeah. Or even if you just look at this as a gold sink of, not sink, but a gold, an earning opportunity where you're just going to sell a bunch of gear that maybe isn't great for you after that fact, and you get a bunch of quest gold and all that, and you just come out a little better financially on the other side. I just think it's indelicate to go, up, you're 50, get your ass back here, you're done. Like, it's just weird. It feels weird, is weird, and I don't like it. So maybe they could fix that. Maybe they won't. Maybe they don't care after, I mean, maybe I don't even care after Shadowlands, because look, I'll have my six alts. They'll all be max level. When the Shadowlands hits, I'm not going to go, all right, I'm off to make new characters. See you guys. I'm not doing that then. That's what the pre-patch was for. So I won't even care about this in a month. Ooh, hint about the release date.
Because no one listening to this show knows already.
So before we get to any of that, Garrett, why don't you tell me how Blizzard's most recent, Activision Blizzard's most recent earnings call went?
Oh, well, Scott, they had it. And it turns out Activision had 111 million monthly active users in the second quarter, which is down from Q2. They had 125 million in Q2, but it's up from Q1, which was 102 million. Yeah. Blizzard, however, had 30 million MAUs in the second quarter, which is down from 32 million in Q1 2020. It's also down from Q4 2019. Mm. As far as World of Warcraft is concerned, MAUs were stable year over year. They also said that the World of Warcraft franchise engagement is at its highest level for this stage ahead of an expansion in a decade, with Shadowlands pre-sales well ahead of any prior expansion.
In a decade? That's crazy.
Yeah.
10 years of the 15? That's pretty insane. They didn't give us specifics there, but that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm curious what they're measuring engagement by. That's a really vague buzzword right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hours played in Hearthstone grew year over year in the third quarter. How do you grow year over year in a third quarter?
Third quarter meaning third quarter last time, they have grown over that.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
I assume that's what they mean when they say that. I assume.
Yeah, but they also mentioned that the Battlegrounds mode was seeing sustained strong engagement since its release last November. That's because it's great.
Yeah, that is Hearthstone for me. That's the whole game for me now.
It's Hearthstone for a lot of people. Yeah. It's a force on Twitch as well, if you look at view numbers.
Yeah.
Overwatch continues to have a large and dedicated community with 10 million MAUs in the quarter, which is, I mean, we're 4 years since launch. That's impressive. They also mentioned that Diablo Immortal will soon enter external regional testing.
What?
What do I even take away from that, Scott?
I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? Extended
lots of things
testing
are external to a region.
I mean, I'm no longer even excited about the game, if I ever was, really. I'm more excited about the process of seeing that game come to fruition at some point. Like, that's what's interesting to me now. So whatever this regional external testing means, now I just want to see it happen. I want to see a game appear out of that mess. And it sounds like maybe we will. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. And then finally, they pointed out that the Shadowlands release date is the 16th anniversary of the original World of Warcraft release. Scott, do any of these numbers or vague accolades surprise you?
A little bit. I'm a little surprised. I shouldn't be, I guess. The Hearthstone number surprised me because I guess I just didn't give credit to Battlegrounds and how much that is that game now for so many people. That really breathed a bunch of new life into it. So I think that makes sense the more I think about it, but I was surprised to hear it.
I always find it interesting to pay attention to what metrics they're putting forward because they clearly choose them for very specific reasons, because they say hours played in Hearthstone grew up year over year. They didn't say users or registered accounts or anything of that nature.
Sure. They are vague about a lot of these things. Like, we still don't know. This one about World of Warcraft franchise engagement is at the highest level at this stage ahead of an expansion in a decade, with Shadowlands pre-sales way ahead of any prior expansion. That sounds good, right? That's going to sound good to shareholders.
Well, measuring pre-sales, okay, cool. I know exactly what that means. That is a measurable metric that I understand.
Right.
Engagement, though, what do you consider engagement?
I don't know what that means. I mean, I see all my friends list is packed with people playing pre-patch. So,
oh yeah, mine too.
Little bitty, you know, personal data that suggests that there's a huge uptick in excitement for the new expansion and for whatever content they have out now. So sure, I guess there is some of that. There is some of that evidence from a sort of a, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? There's empirical evidence that they've got excitement behind this thing or whatever the heck engagement means. But they're so vague about it, I don't really know. And also 10 years ago, what are we talking? Cataclysm, I think. So this would be coming off of the highest point that it's ever been.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think so. There's a lot of anticipation for that. Not saying it's going to be received as well or poorly, Shadowlands, that is, versus something like Cataclysm. I'm just saying, people were real excited about Cataclysm at the time, right?
Yeah, but we were also coming down off of the, still to this day, highest peak that World of Warcraft has ever achieved during Wrath of the Lich King.
Mm, good point. Also, I would guess, and I don't have any data on this because they didn't share any, but I assume whatever's happening in Classic in terms of quote-unquote engagement is lumped into this, because they don't cut that out at all in the earnings call. They don't, never once do they go, oh, and Classic is up by this much. They don't even quantify it. So I assume anytime we hear about World of Warcraft and the $15 account that you pay for every month, they're talking about all of it in one big pie. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me, but I'm pretty sure that's all in there. The other thing that surprised me a little bit was nothing. That's it. That's all it is. And I guess I already made myself clear on the immortal thing. I just want to see something happen. Whether it's good or bad, I don't care at this point. I just want to see something happen. So maybe it will. All right, moving on.
See it.
Chris Metzen, you may have heard of him before. Former creative director of all franchise development at Blizzard. Retired for a couple of years there, hanging out, chilling, and spending time with his family. Came out of retirement. And if you listened to last week's episode of The Instance, or Tuesday's rather, you heard the interview I did with Chris about this very thing. We talked about this and about a few other things, Dreamhaven and his time at Blizzard and some other stuff, but most of that interview was dedicated to what he wants to do in the future. And the news this week is they've got a brand new project, and it's along with his pal and fellow veteran game partner, Mike Gilmartin. Cool dude. If you've seen the videos of this announcement, you've seen that guy sitting there right there with Chris. Anyway, they launched a site called Warchief Gaming, warchiefgaming.com. The new company will focus on in-house and outside IP tabletop games, getting to the roots of Metzen's love for world and character creation. Again, we go way deep into why that is his motivator on that episode, so do check it out if you haven't. The one thing I wanted to mention, again, is that there have been no specific titles announced or any partnerships announced or any of that stuff yet. It's a small Irvine-based team. They look like they're ready to take advantage of the resurgence of tabletop gaming in recent years, so I think the timing's really good. But more importantly, this puts Chris back in his creative space, which I think is good for all of us. Anyway, speaking of former employees at Blizzard, quick thanks and best of luck to Dave Fargo-Kozak, who is leaving Blizzard after 12 years of amazing work for multiple teams over there. He was on the WoW team. He did a bunch of stuff for other things. You have played some of you may not know them by name, but some of your favorite quests were Dave quests. He built some amazing content in World of Warcraft. His final job over there on the Hearthstone team, I would argue he was one of the best. That was one of the best moves they made. He kind of quickly became the face I was most interested in when it came to hearing what was going on there. He kind
of picked up the torch and kept it going after Ben Brode left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in a really meaningful way, too. Not just the, you know, this. Sometimes that can happen. And you're like, oh, he's not as dynamic as the last guy or whatever. But he stepped into that role and made it his own. It was great.
Yeah. People memed it, but there was one time they were talking about a card change and Ben Brode referred to the soul of the card. And, I would say there was definitely like a soul to the OG Team 5 crew, and like Kozak really kind of like still embodied that and carried it forward when a lot of the original team left to go form Second Dinner.
Right. And I have I mean, by the way, he's leaving for another game studio. He's going to a company called Deviation Games. They're LA based, and we don't know what they're working on yet, but he says he's excited to tell people. He's in a creative lead position there, and we're super excited for him. So best of luck to Dave. But he and I have a weird history way back. Uh-oh. And oh yeah, this is great. You'll love it.
We hear about the Johnson Kozak feud of 2008.
Feud. Nothing but happy times. But way back in the GameSpy.com days, for all, some of you old farts who remember GameSpy.com was a big deal. Like back then, you played your multiplayer games there. So if you were playing Half-Life 1 multiplayer, or you were playing freaking Unreal Tournament or whatever, you had the GameSpy client, because that's what you would use to do matchmaking and find servers and all of that. They also had a site, and on that site there was gaming news and other content, and it was kind of this cool thing at the time. It was a really rad place to be, and they ran two things there when I was there, I started my MyExtraLife.com comic there, and that's where we launched it, and they reached out to me and said, hey, you want to do this? I said, absolutely. So it was like me and Scott Kurtz had PvP over there at the time, and John Kovalik was doing Dork Tower, and all these cartoonists were doing game-related comics on GameSpy.com. And also alongside that was this comic that was screenshots in World of Warcraft, but jokes around stuff that would happen in WoW. And that author was Dave Kozak.
And what?
He, yeah.
This I think I've seen some of these. I didn't know that was him.
And it was called, what's the name of it? It was about a dwarf named, someone in the chat's going to, gosh dang it. Someone's going to remember this before I do. Anyway, whatever it was called. But it was this amazing comic. Everyone loved it. It was great. I remember the day. Was it just called Fargo? I don't think it was. It was something else. Not Big Red Kitty. It was a comic strip that he did for GameSpy. This is way back in like 2003 or 4.
Like a long, it looks like it was called Flintlock versus the Horde.
There it is. The Adventures of Flintlock or something with Flintlock. But yeah, Flintlock. And he may have had the first name of Fargo. I don't remember. But anyway, it was this thing. Now, here's the weird bit. At some point, don't remember the year, probably in 04 or 05, he gets the call from Blizzard to go work there. And he announces it. GameSpy comes to me and says, do you want to take over Flintlock? Because it's really popular and we want to keep it going. And I said, no, I don't want to take it over because I think his is a singular vision. And it didn't seem to me that he wanted anyone to take his thing over. I mean, he basically owned it now, so they could do whatever they wanted with it. But I always felt like, well, I don't want to take Dave's thing and try to do it justice just because you guys own the rights to it. And now Dave has no say. So I backed off that deal and didn't do it. But anyway, so we have that weird originating history. And then you go all these years later, 2015, I'm at BlizzCon moderating a community area panel about the yet to be unreleased but barely announced Legion expansion. And Dave Kozak's on that team at the time, Celestalon also, who's also over at Hearthstone now. But they were all there, and I'm Q&A-ing everybody, and we're just having like people in the audience ask questions and all this. And there we are, like 15 years later, me and Dave having a conversation about World of Warcraft. And we had all this weird, funky history in the back that was always just interesting. So anyway, that's that wild. Guy's
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, that guy, I should have told you before because it seemed, I know you and Dave have talked to you, really think highly of him. It seemed like a thing we would have talked about, but we never did. But anyway, he's awesome, and we just wish him the best of luck, and we know whatever it is he does next will be rad.
That's yeah, I'm gonna miss him, as I do all the Team Fight folk who have left, because they're just rad people.
They are rad. Very just rad.
Kind and fun to talk to.
The chat I'm putting in, both warchiefgaming.com site and one of Dave's tweets about his plan, so...
The Warchief gaming announcement is ridiculous for me, because like, dude, when friggin' Hearthstone got announced, I had just started playing Magic. I'd maybe been like 9 months into playing Magic the Gathering, and then Hearthstone got announced, and I was like, huh, okay. I just started painting Warhammer minis.
Yeah.
Like 2 months ago.
You're predicting it. You're predicting the whole thing.
I have three minis that I finished painting.
Wait, what are you doing next that we might be able to predict the next big thing? What do you got? do you see all those guys? There's a new company called Frost Giant Games. They're making a new RTS.
Making a new RTS, yeah.
It's all ex-StarCraft 2 guys, big time guys from Blizzard.
Best of luck to you. That's
RTS, man. Hard.
That is a bold direction to go.
Yeah, not exactly in vogue at the moment. I would have been less surprised if they had said, oh, we're going to do a next generation MOBA or something. Like if they'd have said that, I would have said, okay, well, at least you're in the ballpark of what people want from their RTSs these days. But there will always be some nostalgia and some fond feelings for things. And StarCraft 2 is the king of them all. So if you want that itch scratch, you can go do that right now, despite them stopping commercial support for it, basically. But I don't know how I feel about it. But it's cool to see those guys have a plan. And they've already got $4.6 million on Kickstarter for this project. So doing all right. It'll be okay. And Frost Giant's a cool name. I like it.
Yes, it is.
All right. That's that. But now our main quest. We have a new date to the prom. That's right, everybody. Just in time for Thanksgiving, World of Warcraft Shadowlands arrives on its new date and time of November 23rd. There's some other important dates. I'm going to rip through these real quick, but then we'll talk about the expansion. On November 10th, we get the pre-expansion launch event. That is in, what, a week and a half?
So bite your friends.
Yeah, pretty quick. Invite your friends. Get them in there. Catch them.
No, whatever. Bite your friends. Oh, bite them. You're going to be a zombie.
Bite your friends. Bite them and invite them. And then bite them again. November 23rd, the expansion launch, which we mentioned. So if you were hosting Thanksgiving, maybe try to get out of it. Not that a lot of people are hosting Thanksgiving, but you know what I mean?
Like, I have become the turkey cooker in the last two years.
Have you now?
This will be year three of cooking the turkey.
Okay, hold on. We can't just jump past this. Do you got any hot tips? Like, what do you do? What do you do to the bird?
Follow Alton Brown's recipe blindly.
Oh, well, then that's what we do as well.
Yeah.
All right. Then you got December 8th. Castle Netheria releases the Shadowlands Season 1, or releases and Shadowlands Season 1 begins. On the 15th, you get Mythic Castle Netheria and Raid Finder Ring 1. That's fun to say over and over and fast. January 5th, Raid Finder Wing 2. On the 19th, Wing 3. And on the 2nd of February, Wing 4. So schedule laid out for those common things we get with expansions every time they launch. Here's what Blizzard said in a statement on the official site. On behalf of the entire World of Warcraft team, I'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you for your patience as we continue to work on Shadowlands and for all the words of support after we made the tough decision to delay the game. Today, I'm happy to share that the expansion will be arriving on November 3rd at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's November 24th at 12 a.m. CET if you're in the UK. We'd like to thank everybody across the WoW community who helped us get where we are today, including players leveling up new characters in the Shadowlands pre-patch and keeping Azeroth's barbers extra busy, as well as all the beta testers who continue to provide us with invaluable feedback on the expansion. Moreover, here are the times. So if you are not in America or aforementioned Europe, here are your other times. So in America, 3 p.m. Pacific on the 23rd. In Europe, which we're listening to CET. What does that stand for? CET, whatever it is.
Central?
They know what it is.
Central Eastern Time?
Is that what it is?
Wait, for Europe, that makes...
I don't know what they do over there.
Usually that's what that means, but... That's
probably what it means.
Weird.
I have no idea. I don't usually see it that way, but anyway.
No. I didn't realize it was Europe. Oh, Central European Time.
Oh, Central European Time.
In the chat room is saying. Derp! Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, their clock's already changed, so they're already effed up over there. But that's 12 a.m. for them on the 24th. Okay. This is a simultaneous launch, by the way. So that's why if these seem staggered, it's just because they're all going to happen at the same time, just on a different clock. Taiwan time, CST, you're looking at 7 a.m. November 24th. In Korea, you're looking at 8 a.m. that morning. ANZ, Australia, New Zealand. It's like your, what do you call that though? It's your servers, your oceanic times, basically. Anyway, 10 a.m. on November 24th, and UTC is 11 p.m. November 23rd. So,
name of our local mall.
Oh, really? The UTC?
UTC, yes, the University Town Center.
Oh, wow. Malls even. I don't remember malls hardly. I used to love a good mall. It used to be one of my favorite things on this planet. Now I don't want to go there. Don't really have the desire. So
apologies,
there you
for
go.
The derail podcast listeners.
But we're going to all be, I mean, 3 p.m. on the afternoon of the 23rd. Are you kidding me? I'm so excited. I can barely stand it. And that's what, Wednesday?
Yeah. That's a Monday.
Monday. I'm sorry. Oh, that's good then. Because Thursday's Thanksgiving. It's a huge holiday.
Mondays are great for me. Yeah. Well, nobody ever wants to. All my clients are too busy with like their normal meetings on Monday. They don't have time to deal with their contractors.
Yeah. I mean, as far
Mondays
as
these are wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's good. How do you feel about the 10th and the event? I mean, that's exciting, I guess.
I mean, I'm glad we've got dates. Yeah. So,
yep. Not much to say except it's coming. So we're finally there. And I think this is official because two things happen that make it more official this time. And they're not going to slip again, despite CD Projekt Red pushing off another game. So actually, this is probably good for a while because they need to get, if they're getting in before, Cyberpunk, that's good. That's a good thing. But anyway, it's more official because they said in their earnings call that this is the date, and you don't normally do that unless you're locked. They also put out a really rad video preview thing of a whole bunch of story beats from, one would assume, throughout this expansion coming up.
Some new shots that we didn't see in the recently released.
All kinds of hype for it. All kinds of hype. Because like there's the jailer and here he comes walking down the street, talking to everyone he meets. What else? You got your Sylvanas in there saying
Sylvanas stuff. Delivering some interesting dialogue.
Yeah. There's people saying stuff like this.
What's different this time?
Well, that's Thrall. He's in there. I see his face. This lady's in it.
Your heart is pure.
The wood lady.
She's so freaking cool.
She's cool.
She looks like something straight out of a Guillermo del Toro film, and I am so freaking on board for her whole design. The Winter Queen.
Yeah, oh, she's cool.
Sign me up. Like, just one step removed from Pan's Labyrinth. Love it.
Well, also fits in your elf love. You know, tree hugging freaking elf weirdos.
Yeah, I'm on like, I like the tree assassin, like warrior side of the Night Elves. I'm less into the druid stuff.
Sure. But
yeah.
I used to hate
Malfurion.
Druids.
Everyone's heard me talk smack about Malfurion.
Oh, no, he's the worst. He's the worst. Taran?
What a wet blanket.
He's barely, I don't even think of him as Illidan's brother. Like, how are they
demons
even
demons are raining hellfire from the skies. A major dragon just died. And over in the corner is a smelly hippie going, Taranda!
Sarafang, you stabbed me in the back.
Finish the job, Sarafang. Yeah, Sarafang not killing Malfurion is why I don't care about Sarafang all that much.
Well, where it got bad was when he was in... that's a funny thing, by the way. Did I talk to you about this? I think I must have. Because where else would I have talked about this? But Sarafang, it may have been on Korra, but Sarafang shows up in a bunch of early quest stuff in Wrath in Borean Tundra.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last
episode. Did we talk about it? Okay, like, yeah. And he's got his
awesome new model, and there's just basic ass Garrosh.
It's so weird.
Hanging out.
Yeah. The other thing that threw me was in Pandaria, there's a big story sequence toward the end. Right after you get done with Jade Forest and you're off to Valley of the Four Winds, and you're doing the big Jade Temple thing with the dragon deal. And that all gets blown apart because they're having like a fight. There's a little fight there between the Alliance and the Horde, and they don't notice the Shah is being created by them fighting there. But anyway, during that fight, it's a cutscene, and it's a good one. It looks great in game, but it's with the old models. Those didn't change until the next expansion. So the orc I've been working with this whole time doing quests for, talking to Nazgrim, been talking to him over and over. How's it going, dude? Very good. Now we got to go do this, right? Whatever. He looks great because there he is in his full new model. The cutscene starts and he's still voicing it. And he's like pointing to the Alliance going, go get him. And the Alliance are these terrible mustache looking, you know, old school models. Really threw me at first because they're not going to go do that.
No, it's pre-rendered. And that's why they look so good. Right. But it also means they can't just swap models out. Yeah,
it's very odd, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's how it goes.
Yeah.
Unless they did re-render it, which would be really cool. The Halo 2 Master Chief Collection, all the re-rendered cinematics in that look amazing, and I would love to see that for World of Warcraft.
Same. I think that'd be cool if they did that. But, anyway.
Bring on Shadowlands, man. I'm so ready for this expansion.
I'm so ready. I know. I'm so jazzed up. I'm so overhyped right now. I get this way every time, so yeah, here we are again, but I am very excited. The other thing that surprised me, it is literally the anniversary of World of Warcraft being launched in November, same date in 2004, which is crazy to think about.
I was a senior in high school and was not playing it.
Well, there you go.
I was playing Guild Wars.
Yeah. And the ladies.
Yes. I was dating Katie at the time.
I was going to say, you're already pretty committed to Katie at the time. Not much of a player when that happens, but that's good. All right. Hey, well, now we know that.
And that's really exciting.
Hey, just because everybody gets a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing doesn't mean you have to go through life with a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing. Old Spice has a new Below Deck powder spray to help you feel drier and cleaner down below. A new Below Deck anti-chafe stick to help prevent inner thigh chafing. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. We need to know what your questions are. And because Scott's stupid, he forgot to pull his up right before the show. So he's going to do it right now. There we go. Instance questions. They're right there. All right, Garrett, this is where we ask each other quick fire style questions and we try to answer them as fast as we can. Rapid fire style. Gosh dang it, I'm still doing it. So we're going to do our best to do that. We got one here from Florida Man from Moonrunner. So one of your people.
Oh, hello. Well, greetings. We will now exchange the customary pub sub.
Yep. And it also sounds like he's talking directly to you with this because it's an inside thing. So let's see how you do. It says, right. When UFIT sends you an email, should you reply all? He says you have to be in. It says the UF inside joke Garrett might get now that he's a student.
I'm wondering if this person attends UF, because I did reply all to UFIT email, and I got about 40 replies from people who were very angry that I did that.
See? We did. Well, you already figured it out. Well done.
This is hilarious.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
I was just so, I had no idea, man. The trying to get set up for classes, I've never been an online student before. I had no freaking clue what I was doing.
Right. Who knows? It's a whole world happened between last time I was in college.
Yeah, well, you have my student email now. Go Gators.
Yeah, enjoy it. Anara, from Lightbringer US says, what is the best Reese's peanut butter cup, tree or egg?
I don't know. Egg. What is tree? Is garbage.
What is tree? I don't know what that is.
For Christmas, they do Christmas trees.
Oh, the shape you mean. Okay.
It'll do it. It'll get you there. It's still a higher peanut butter to chocolate ratio than the standard Reese's, which is why everyone likes the egg in the first place. But the egg is superior and just the best of all of the various Reese's shapes.
Sure. That makes sense. Okay. How about this one? This is from Fletch, a.k.a. Mighty Wind on Norgesil, says this. I've booked time off of work again, but is a few weeks enough time to tie up the main loose ends before launch? What do you think?
It's pretty vague. Yes. I'll just say yes.
I'll say yes, too. I think you're
good. I don't know what your loose ends are. If it's your hair, you should ask someone to cut your hair for you.
Here we have an anonymous questioner asking night elves or blood elves.
Oh, God. I'm going to go with night elves. That's my OG.
Okay. OG night elves. I like it. Here's a good one. Got two more. This is from Claws on Earthen Ring. Who jails the jailer? Right?
The Watchman.
The Watchman jailed the jailer. Oh, my gosh. The crossover IP costs alone are going to put Blizzard out of business. All right. Well done. Final question. This is great. Belzung on Earthen Ring says, with Thanksgiving approaching, who is WoW's crazy uncle? So, like, who do you want at the table that would be the version of a crazy uncle but is a WoW character?
Garrosh is definitely a proud boy.
Oh yeah, dude, you know he is. He'd be doing it now if he wasn't wasn't tied down by elf magic or whatever the hell's going on in that mm-hmm. place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Garrosh has really concerning opinions that should raise all of the eyebrows and not be accepted at the table.
I agree. All right. Well done. Now let's move on to any questions you may have received for me.
Yellowflower wrote in, says, what did Guy Fieri do to earn his legendary Thunder Fieri, Blessed Blade of the Flavor Seeker?
Oh, my gosh. He maxed cooking and slash kissed all the squirrels in the world. Those are the two things you have to do to get that.
I think you also have to kill Nomi.
Oh, really?
You have to take Nomi out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I like it.
Nomi drops it. Yeah. At Sim Greenwood writes, after Shadowlands, would you rather we venture to a completely different world or come back to a changed Azeroth?
I like it when the game goes somewhere new, but I also don't mind it when it's just a new chunk of space on Azeroth itself. So if it was another Mists or Northrend or, you know, Shattered Isles, that sort of thing, just like give me another place we're just finding out about on the planet, that's fine with me. It doesn't have to be on some other world. I don't need that. But that is my preference. I don't want them to come back and revamp everything again. I think the game is in good enough shape now, and this new leveling thing has basically made that a moot point. Like, those 50 levels, if you want them, are set now, and you're good, and it's fast, and it's great, and it feels good, and it's good enough, and there's no reason for us to think that they're going to go rehash anything Cataclysm style. But, you know, another landmass on Azeroth herself would be fine.
I'm just cracking up because chat room now is trying to find the U.S. political equivalent of all of the world leaders in World of Warcraft, and it is really amusing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm gonna have to look at this.
Good stuff in there, chat room. Yeah. Good stuff.
Nice work.
Josh Daly wants to throw down, Scott. I'm gonna assume this is meant in jest. Will Garrett ever guest on Core, and why are you actively trying to stop this collaboration?
We would totally have you on Core. That's no problem. Yeah, have it be known. We'll make if we can work it out. I mean, the trickiest part is all of us just have busy schedules, so it's not easy to necessarily be in each other's other shows across the network. This is true, but yeah, we ever get a reason to make it happen, let's do it. I have no problem.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of requests for me to return to For Azeroth and hang out with Manny and Joss, but it's just like, it's hard to make that happen.
Got to make that time, yo. Yeah. All right. That was number three.
At Porto Johnny wants to know, Scott, what WoW class would Kim be and why?
Oh, my gosh.
Choose wisely.
What class? Not race, just class.
Class.
She would alternate between you know what? I'm giving her paladin, and spec wise, what's the healing one? Resto.
Holy is paladin.
Holy paladin because she is a combination of like fierce, don't get in my way, sort of sword and shield. Oh my gosh, that's formidable. And she's very caretaky, so she will heal everybody and keep you alive. And she would also be the one that would bring the feast to every raid because she feeds everybody all the time. So she's high level cooking, feast raid making, paladin protector / reviver. That's her. Totally her. Almost all said right. Priest and said that she would alternate between shadow and not, but she never gets that dark. She's fine.
Nice. At Compside Jedi wants to know, you can only keep one, the other disappears forever. Korean barbecue or Mongolian barbecue?
Oh, Korean stays. Mongolian can go.
I love them both.
Don't get me wrong. It's great. But I have had enough of both in my life and really legit versions of both that the Korean has to stay. Plus, I have Korean relatives. My brother and two sisters are adopted Korean, and they all dabble in the Korean barbecue arts, and it's all amazing, and I don't want to lose that. They're not going to suddenly go, hey, who's up for Mongolian barbecue night? That's not going to happen with my Korean brother and his house. It's not going to happen.
I've never had Mongolian barbecue, but I've had a lot of Korean barbecue, and I love it.
I've had some. Mongolian's very good. Thankfully, we live in a world where it's all going to stay, but I'm just saying, if you had to give me the choice, gun to my head, I'd take Korean. Yeah. Well done. That was the last one. No, you have one more.
All right, final question. At Critty Gree wants to know, what used to be in the jailer's chest hole?
His chest hole?
Yeah, what used to be in the jailer's chest hole, Scott?
A small glass globe with a tiny goldfish in it. That's when he was nice.
So it's like the director from Umbrella Academy. It's just a fish swimming around in a fishbowl.
Just a little fishbowl, little fish in there. It didn't have like a chest. It's not like a symbiote controlling thing. It's just a fish, you know. And that's why he's pissed. Somebody broke the thing, killed the fish. Now he's hell bent on revenge and taking Sylvanas' help and all that. I got this worked out in my head. I know what's up.
Your heart.
Whoops. I mean to play that. Well done, everybody. Your questions are great as always. And if you want to submit a question for me to ask Garrett, you go to theinstance.net/questions. For Garrett, you use the hashtag, which is Garrett?
RapidFireScott.
There it is on Twitter. Use it or lose it. Now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
All right, got a quick email from Roy, who wrote in. It reminds me, I went and dusted off one of my Alliance players on another server, Suramar, I think, named Roy. He is the highest level Alliance character that I have, and he is a Night Elf, and he is a Druid, so we'll see if I do anything with him. Greetings from Lanier on Doomhammer, is his in-game name. He says, am I the only one that feels like we don't have a conclusion to how Azeroth is doing? I feel like this entire expansion, that being BFA, we were trying to save her. There is still this big-ass sword in her. We stopped N'Zoth. Is she safe now? I feel like this part of BFA. BFA was very anticlimactic. Wondering what you guys had in terms of any thoughts or if I've missed something. Roy. I think Roy has a damn good point.
I think Roy does too.
I don't know how to answer this because
BFA's narrative is a mess. Like, let's just be honest. It's all over the place. They loaded like 7 different stories into a shotgun and fired it at an expansion.
But don't you think there's a possibility they can answer all of this in the very early beginnings of Shadowlands, right? They can get to some of that, right? Maybe.
I would I'm kind of over it and don't care and would like to just fully embrace the death goth cult that is the Shadowlands expansion.
But maybe we... Okay, so if I go to the Great Seal again and I... There's still a portal there to Syphilis and there's still...
Syphilis? Or,
did I say Syphilis? What'd I say? Oh, jeez. I can never get that.
Yeah, I take the portal to...
Silithus. Silithus. Syphilis.
After getting some medication, I take the portal.
Get a shot and then go to the portal. If that's always just going to be there and that sword's always going to be hanging out there and Magni's always going to be standing there, that's dumb. That's dumb. Let's not have that, Blizzard. Let's get some closure on the giant freaking sword wound in the thing. He's right. This is a big deal and should have been answered already. I don't even think, like you said, I don't care that much moving forward. I just want Shadowlands. Let's go. But it would have been nice. Some kind of something, just sort of a, I don't know what it would have to be. Not even a cinematic, just something to tell me what happened there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been penetrated with a sword, but I can tell you, I would let you know if I got over it, okay? Or if I died from it, I would let you know. You'd know if I was penetrated by a sword. Roy, great question. Thank you very much. This email came to us at theinstance@gmail.com. You're encouraged to use that email as often as you like. That's theinstance@gmail.com. Be like Roy. Ask great questions. You can also send us voicemails there, like from your phone, little voice attachments if you want. I'm happy to play those. People are always nervous to do that, but I'll totally play them. Not a problem.
Do it. Okay. That's a great thing about voicemails, because it's like really weird if it sounds particularly bad, you can just not play it.
Exactly right. So if they're garbage, I may not play them. But if they're good, I'll play them. Okay, real quick. Support us over at theinstance.net. I want to thank the following people. Shane Xavier, Stephen Reith. I think I'd say it. Thomas Dodeline Jr. and Tiffany Lively, all of whom are just some of the people that support us on our little homegrown support page over there. Go check it out. Theinstance.net has all the details, what you get every month. I did this. So we sent
it's out Halloween, this. Scott. I think it's Tiffany Deadly on this.
Oh, day. Well done. Yeah, good point. Yeah. Deadly. Just for now, just for today. But what was I going to say? Oh, I did a new GURP and Henry portrait thing that I'm very happy with. And it's just because I've been in such a mood for WoW lately. In fact, I'll share this with the chat real quick so they can see it. This is going to be used in a few things, but for sure, it'll be part of the monthly art that the collectible card that ships out to folks who support us will get. So on one side of the card, you will get a version of this art. And on the other side, really cool back design by Garrett Weinzierl. So if you want that, the only way to get it is at that level on our support page. Go check it out, theinstance.net, and get yours today. Garrett, what else is going on in your world that we should mention before we go?
Oh, Hearthstone is bursting at the seams, so I would highly recommend, if you are not already doing so, that you go and subscribe to The Angry Chicken, wherever podcasts can be found, and get caught up, because a new mode has hit the game. It's in the game right now. You can go play it. They just announced the next expansion, and they announced that the entire progression system of the game is changing, and they're adding a battle pass to Hearthstone. Whoa. So major, major upheaval in terms of Hearthstone, and it's all pretty rad stuff. So go check out The Angry Chicken. And also, if you are unaware, I have another World of Warcraft podcast called WoW Killer, which I do with Taliesin, which is on a 2-week break. As of this week, we had some scheduling problems this week, and I'm going to be gone next week. But We just put out our 30th episode. I'm really proud of the show. I think it's really coming into its own. Nice. So go check it out.
Yeah, go look at that. Go give that a look for sure. Chat room, I just noticed something while Garrett was talking. There's this this new Sprite Darter's Wings transmog you can get in the game. Have you seen this?
It's horrendous. You just noticed this because people were so mad about this.
I missed this. Well, what are they mad about, first of all? Because I think it's
they're mad that you have to pay for the cosmetics, Scott.
Oh,
you
got
to
pay for them. It's cosmetic. No.
It's a slippery slope to buying tier sets, even though tier sets aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah, I think the fact that they haven't started selling more of this already is the bigger shock to me, because of course they're going to sell this stuff, and I think it's fine. I don't mind.
I understand that liking the shop. I don't like the shop either, but like, come on. Like, this is like,
it's fine.
It's like buying pajamas for your character. This is a far cry from buying armor sets.
Yeah. And the world's moved on, guys. Come on. All right. That's it for all of that. Thank you all for listening to today's show. A reminder that theinstance.net is where you get everything else you need from us. That includes I don't know, just information. You might just need information. I don't know. Go find it. Theinstance.net. You can find Garrett on Twitter at GarrettArt. Find me at Scott Johnson, the show at Instance Show. And that's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.